I, Ahmed Malik, am a private civilian protected by the Geneva Convention. My Substack, social media posts, and podcasts are my personal experiences, observations, and opinions. This information is for educational purposes only. Although I am a doctor, I am not your doctor, and I am not providing medical or legal advice to you or to the wider public. I am not licensed or registered with the GMC or any other licensing board. The responsibility for the interpretation, due diligence, and use of the information from my Substack and my podcast lies with you, the viewer and or listener. Please do your research and use your discernment. It is not my intention to harass, intimidate, offend, defame, conspire, blackmail, coerce, or cause anxiety, alarm, or distress to any man or woman, and the information presented here is done so with peaceful and honourable intentions. Enjoy, folks.
Right in, project your voice.
Right in. Project. I always project my voice.
Do you?
I do.
Welcome back, Philly J. Lake. Get the frog out. Just turn it.
I've got a bit of a frog in my throat today, but, you know, I'm still here. And I'm dressed for spring. What the fuck? I mean, where is spring? It's just raining.
It's just raining.
And we all know why.
Tell those who don't know why. Why is it raining?
Okay, so the government chooses to spray us with chemtrails and control the weather. And they're spraying aluminium and lots of very nasty chemicals in the air to block out the sun to stop global warming. We don't have global warming. We have less carbon in the air than we have done for 600 million years. But the reason they're doing this is they are talking to the farmers. And they're giving the farmers £350 an acre to rent their land off them because they can't grow anything because everything's so flooded. And the farmers, in their innocence, believe they're going to get this land back in 3 years. Well, I don't know where the food's going to come from because, you know, look what's happened in Ukraine, which was the bread bowl of Europe. And now our farmers are well and truly stuffed. So, we just have to keep looking at this rain coming down. But I'm still going to dress for spring, whatever.
Do you know, that was amazing. It feels like I'm back in Glasgow.
And my daughter's in Glasgow.
It's Drich. I mean, you know, oh, man. Born and brought up in Glasgow, I can tell you right now, I really suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder. You know, I was so depressed and down, and the clouds are down there, literally just above your head, the oppressive grey weight. I was just pissing down every fracking day.
Well, we're light beings. We need the light. We have the first stage of photosynthesis, and that was, you know, that's been proven. We know that we need the light, and yet, you know, that's another one of the lies that we've been told, to cover ourselves in sunblock, to wear sunglasses and not look at the sun. We need that sun on our body, and they know that. They're, you know, driving us into the ground. But
do you know, I tell my wife, I say to her, I'm a plant. When the sun comes out, my little petals open up,
yeah,
and I'm like,
oh,
little plant. And then when it rains like this, I get all droopy and limp and just...
Yeah. Well, we are. We are nature.
Yeah. But listen, look, come on. You're a complete woo-woo crazy person like we ascertained last time round. There's no chemical chemtrails. That's just a crazy conspiracy theory.
It is a conspiracy theory, of course. And that's why 4 states in America have just banned them. So don't know why that's gone to court and they've been banned.
Yeah, Tennessee's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, Tennessee is.
But I think they're run by a governor who's a conspiracy theorist. That's probably why.
Yes.
Yeah, no, listen.
There's a few of us about there.
Anyone who just questions it, right, I would just say, do you not look up at the sky? Like, when did it look like knots and crosses? Like, that's not normal.
It's extraordinary. I put a post up on my story last week.
It has to get to past the point where people are like, oh, you crazy person. Surely, like, I'm an awake normie, right? I'm really late to the party, but I'm like now getting to a point where I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? Like,
no, at least you came to the party. You know, you just don't want to be one of those motherfuckers that sits outside and doesn't join in. So you're here.
I definitely am here.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, do people not look up?
I think
they don't, actually. They look at their phone. Like, they're doing this, actually. This is what they're doing all the time. And it's really sad.
There is that great
looking down at their phone, on their screen, they're not looking up.
There's a great line in 1984. Now, I don't know if it's in the book, but it's definitely in the film. And it says, "There won't be a revolution. No one will look up from their screens long enough."
Oh.
And this is the problem. But a lot of people do look up and think that they're contrails. And now I used to think this is what I was told as a child, because this has been going on since the 70s, that, you know, these were contrails and it was just normal condensation that the planes were letting out. And I tried to film something the other day, but it was too far away. And it was two planes in the sky. And one of them, there was no trail. And the other one, there was a chemtrail. Or a contrail. And I just wanted to question people and say, you know, what's the difference between these two planes? Oh, one of them's laden with chemicals that they're spraying on us. And, yeah, you know, this is having a terrible effect on the farmers because nothing is growing. You know, the fields are waterlogged.
They are waterlogged big time. Yeah. Every single time I'm driving, I go, oh, wow, look, you can see the river. I'm like, oh, no, actually, it's not the river. It's just a field totally flooded.
Yep.
You know, I have to thank someone. I mean, they won't be listening to this podcast. I mean, I don't even know if they're alive. But this is pre-COVID. When I used to drive into London, I would drive down the M40 and then it would continue on as the A40. And on one of the, you know, the bridges, the, you know, the pedestrian walkway type things, there was a graffiti sign that said, look up. And then it was something like geoengineering, something, something, something. And I remember driving and it must have been like the 10th time. I was like, what is this person talking about? Look up. So I did the Google thing and I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's real.
What is this thing they're doing? And it's like, I didn't have the answers. And I was like, no, this isn't a contrail. It's not like this, you know, condensation, it kind of evaporates and disappears. No. This is something where you wake up in the morning, you got blue sky, you see the sunrise, then you start seeing the planes coming, you see these lines, grid lines all over the place. And then instead of disappearing, they kind of diffuse out, and then you get these weird clouds.
Then straight lines.
Straight lines, and then it gets very hazy, and then suddenly it's grey.
Yeah, and then it rains.
And then it rains. And you're like, right, that's not normal. And I remember growing up in the 80s, and there were plenty of planes then, you did not have this crisscrossing nonsense going on.
You didn't. I remember back in the 70s, because I'm a little bit older than you, love.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So I remember back in the 70s, 80s, Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear, and he did an experiment where they sprayed, you know, he was saying, oh, this will be a load of old crap. But, you know, somebody's told me that if they let off these chemicals over here into the sky, it'll start raining over here in a minute. And he's standing there laughing, thinking that they're taking the piss and it's not going to happen. And then all of a sudden the rain starts falling on him and he's just going, what on earth's going on here?
Oh, wow.
So see if you can find that clip. It's brilliant. I haven't seen it for years. It kind of seems to have disappeared like a lot of other things in the world.
But it's kind of like, it is a bit worrying because the thing is, what's in this? And, you know, I've heard lots of different things from aluminium, borium, barium, cadmium. I mean, just weird stuff. Like, you know, really weird. And the thing is that they've done this kind of experiment where it scatters radar, so it can make it difficult for, you know, you to detect planes or whatever. So it does something to the radar, but then it does, I mean, it's called cloud seeding.
Yeah.
And then there was another name for it, stratospheric injection, geoengineer or something. And there's a WHO paper. I had Efrat Fenningson here last year and she pulled it up and she was like, look, there's a document by the WHO, the UN. And they've written about this.
I mean, they most probably developed it. They are way ahead of the ball on everything they're trying to do.
Right.
It is quite extraordinary. And people just don't seem to be realizing that our government is poisoning us from every direction. They're poisoning our soil. They're poisoning our water, you know, with fluoride. They're poisoning our air. And there has never been a more important moment in history to start your detox, you know, You've got to. You know, we're incredible beings. You know, this little old thing we call a body is so powerful and so strong. Detox it, treat it right. You know, get that crap out and we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. I just want to say that to everybody. But, you know, those motherfuckers are trying very, very hard.
Yes, they are. They are. Right, let's move on from the weather. It's wet. It's a bit miserable, but it's fine.
It's given me a bit of a frog in my throat. I'm sounding a bit sexy today, aren't I? Can you? No?
Very gravelly. Yes. It's nice. Yeah.
I like it.
So tell me, like, you've got some exciting things going on.
Oh, incredibly exciting. Yes. Well, this year started with an absolute bang, and it was really weird because for the first time in my life, I didn't celebrate New Year. I didn't go out. I couldn't because, you know, it's something I've always celebrated because it was my dad's birthday. And so it was always a really big gig in our household. And, you know, like everybody, you know, loved the new year. But when you wake up and you realize it's not the new year and the new year doesn't happen in the middle of winter, we've just had it, hence the fact I'm wearing white, getting ready for the summer. I just couldn't celebrate it. And so I lit my fire and sat by my fire on my own. And I thought, I phoned my sister. So I phoned my sister. We spent 2.5 hours on the phone, which was bloody lovely because we never have time to do that. And I went to bed that night and I just kind of thought, right, this year, it's going to happen. You know, I'm going to make things happen. We got to get the word out there. And I said to her, I sent a lot of texts saying, you know, Happy Gregorian New Year. lots of people texted back. And I heard from my friend in Ireland, Jenny. And Jenny introduced me last year to Barbara O'Neill.
The Barbara O'Neill.
And they were very gracious and allowed me to do not one, but two podcasts, one with Barbara and one with Barbara and her husband, Michael. And then she phoned me on the 1st of January to have a natter. And she said, Barbara's coming back to Ireland. And I said, I'm definitely coming out. I said, oh God, we got to get her in the UK. And she went, oh, do you want her in the UK? I went, yeah. Yeah, I really do. And she said, okay, I've got her for a week. Let's do 2 days in the UK. And I'm like, oh my God. So Barbara O'Neill is coming to London this June. I'm putting on a talk. So it's my first talk I've ever put on.
Wow.
My first event. And talk about starting with the big guns. I'm starting with Barbara O'Neill.
Wow.
Which is...
So for those who are listening and are thinking, who the hell is Barbara O'Neill? Can I say I don't know who Barbara... Who is Barbara O'Neill?
Okay, so Barbara O'Neill is a 70-year-old Australian woman who has just sussed out exactly how the body works in synergy with Mother Nature, God. She's very religious, but certainly with Mother Nature, she's found all the wonderful things that we can use to heal ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot of fake media accounts out there. When I say a lot, I'm talking thousands. And I checked on TikTok last year and she had over 1 billion hashtags. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And when I scroll through my TikTok feed, virtually every post. Now, I know, you know, the algorithm goes to what you like, but virtually every post that I look at is Barbara. And these are fan accounts, people sharing her work. And most of them have 500,000 followers. I mean, she is massive. People are completely changing their lives because of Barbara. But she gets a lot of flack because there are some accounts, you know, they're fake accounts that say Dr. Barbara O'Neill or Barbara O'Neill naturopath. She trained as a nurse for 3 years, a psychiatric nurse. She nursed her mother and she has a lot of children, 6 children. Mm. And so she kind of learned on the job, if you like. Mm. She learned to heal herself. And she tells this story of her youngest eldest daughter, Emma, having tonsillitis many, many times and her keep going back to the doctor. And Emma's on about her 5th, 6th lot of antibiotics. And she says to the doctor, you know, this isn't working. What, you know, is she just going to be on antibiotics for the rest of her life? Because I don't think they're very good for you. And the doctor said, well, I think she will. So till we can get rid of it. We can't sort this out. So Barbara went to visit her 85-year-old neighbour in Australia and said, you know, what can I do for my child? And her neighbour said, well, you can steam an onion, cook an onion, cut it in half, and then put the warm hot onion on the bottom of her foot, and you can draw the toxins out of the body. And Barbara's like, okay, you know, I'm pretty desperate here. I'll give it a go. And it worked. And her child never had tonsillitis again. And she's like, so she's talking to this old neighbour and basically learning grandmother's wisdom. And that's what it is. And all these wonderful things. So she's, I think, most famously known for castor oil, you know, using castor oil packs to dissolve anything in your body from a bone spur to, you know, she has people that have used castor oil packs on their breasts with breast cancer and have dissolved the tumor. She talks a lot about cayenne pepper. Now, I'm a member of the People's Health Alliance, as you most probably know. And we had a gala last September up in Leeds, and I went up there, and I actually flew from Ireland, where I'd been filming with Barbara. So I was very late. And as I kind of ran into the lift, kind of disheveled, everybody else was coming out of the lift in their evening gowns for this fundraising gala. And somebody who recognized me said, oh, you're late. And I went, yeah, I know. So I've just been to interview Barbara O'Neill. And they're just like, what? I'm going, yeah, no, I have. And this lady just took me by the shoulders and she said, oh, my God, please, can you let her know she saved my husband's life? He had a massive heart attack and he was lying on the floor and he was blue. And I'm screaming and I grab the phone and I'm shaking and I phone 999. And I remembered seeing a clip from Barbara O'Neill on getting cayenne pepper into somebody if they've had a heart attack and just pumping that blood. She said, I ran to the kitchen, I got the cayenne pepper, and I just opened his mouth and tipped the cayenne pepper into his mouth, threw some water down there to get it into him. And within seconds, he started coming round. And he kind of opened his eyes and said, wow, well, what happened? She said, I think you had a heart attack, darling. And he went, oh, my God. And by the time the ambulance got there, they're going, are you sure? Are you sure he had a heart attack? And they're going, yes. And they're going, no, you don't recover this quickly from a heart attack. You know, it's not possible. And she said, yes, well, I use Barbara O'Neill's cayenne pepper trick. And they laughed and they said, well, we'll take him to hospital anyway, where it was proven that he did have a heart attack, a massive heart attack. And she said, you know, she saved my husband's life. And there are stories like this from all around the world. Barbara.
She's quite controversial, isn't she?
I was just going to say that. If you look at her Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It is horrific. And a lot of people, you know, I've got a post up from my podcast that came out for my 100th episode. So what a way to do a 100th episode of The Wellness Way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll take that with Barbara and Michael. And I put a clip up on TikTok where she is absolutely viral. And this clip went viral very, very quickly. And then somebody was writing in the chat and saying, she's not a doctor. She's not a naturopath. She doesn't say she is. This is other people that say she is. This is all fake accounts.
Can I read what the Wikipedia says?
Oh, please do.
The Wikipedia says that straight off the bat, Barbara O'Neill is an Australian alternative healthcare promoter known for advertising dangerous and unsupported health practices and ideas. There you go.
There you go. Now, a very good friend of mine.
Despite not having any recognized qualifications and failing nursing training. And she's part of Informed Medical Options Party, an anti-vaccination. Oh, terrible.
Terrible.
An anti-fluoride. Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
Political group.
So yeah. I've got to tell you about this. A very, very good friend of mine is one of the main editors on Wikipedia. And when I started to plan the event, I was talking to lots of venues and I started telling them, you know, they're saying, who's speaking? So I said, well, it's myself and Barbara O'Neill. And literally within hours, they all came back and cancelled and said, you can't use our venue. I'm like, okay, I know she's a bit controversial. I hadn't looked her up on Wikipedia at that point. So I'm talking to my daughter who's doing a post-grad in events. And I went, they're all cancelling. I can't get a venue. And she said, oh, I'll help you, Mum. You know, I'm doing this for my degree. I'll help you. And then she went, oh, my God. She said, you read what they said about her on Wikipedia. You know, she's a complete fake. I went, no, she's not. I bring up Wikipedia. Read it, phone this friend of mine who's one of the main editors on Wikipedia, and he's wide awake. I said, dear God, can you change that? And he went, not a chance, even as a main editor. Now, other people can edit on Wikipedia, but there is a bank of people that are the main editors. He said, but as a main editor, I can't touch Barbara O'Neill. I can't touch Julian Assange. I can't touch chemtrails, but I can edit cloud seeding. How does that happen?
How does that happen?
I don't know. He doesn't know.
I don't trust Wikipedia.
No. I mean, don't.
It's an Intel-controlled thing, intelligence agency thing. It's not what you think it is.
No, it's not what you think it is at all. You know, that's why Julian Assange has spent 5 years in Belmarsh prison because he gave an alternative to that to get, you know, real facts out about what was happening. You know, can you imagine if Russia had a journalist sitting in a prison without a conviction, without a trial for 5 years, who is quite honestly dying?
You know what? Can I be honest with you, though? Sometimes my brain starts to hurt because speaking to someone recently, someone was like, are you sure he was in jail?
Oh, no.
How do you know? Was he really in that embassy? How do you know who he really is? Have you looked into his background? Do you know he was from a cult? Maybe he was MK Ultra'd. Is he really who we think he is? It goes into even further. Like, I'm just saying, once you start going down these rabbit runs and it's like, you just don't know. You don't know who to trust anymore.
Well, I believe 100% he's in Belmarsh prison.
I'm just saying though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hearing things from people and it's weird.
Yeah, his brother flew in from Australia and for his court hearing earlier this year to give him, you know, it was his final chance to appeal because there's no conviction against him. This is purely because America has asked for him to be extradited. That's it. And if American, you know, authorities get their hands on him, he's dead. I mean, he was so ill, he couldn't make his court case. He couldn't even watch it on a screen. And Stella Assange was outside the court, the High Court, telling everybody this. You know, his brother was, he was too ill. I'm not even sure if his brother got in to see him eventually, having come from Australia. He's so cold in his room, according to his wife, Stella, that he has books up against the window to try and keep the glass, you know, the coldness from the glass from affecting his chest, which is highly inflamed. You know, this is, and, you know, there isn't a resolution on this, despite the fact that Australia for the first time in 5 years has asked for a resolution. There isn't one. But what the British courts have done is written to the American Senate and said, can we have your assurance that you won't kill him? Oh, well, that means a lot, doesn't it?
Exactly. You know what? I just don't know. I've got to the point now where I just don't know who I can trust and what is real and what isn't real.
It's getting
so dark now. You know, you just don't know. Everything's a theater and question everything.
Do you know, I can understand why people don't wake up, as frustrating as I find
it's tiring.
It with my family and my friends, or, you know, my old friends. I do understand.
It's hard work.
It is really hard work.
It's hard work. Let's talk about the Cancer Act. I find that, because you talked about Barbara talking about treating cancer and everything. Yeah, this is, do you know, I went through med school and I wasn't even aware that there was such a thing as a Cancer Act.
Really?
Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that. The Cancer Act of 1939.
I kid you not. I'm not making this up. I wasn't taught anything about vaccines. And, you know, I missed one or two lectures here and there when I was unwell. But, you know, I would have remembered. Okay. And I got the notes when I was not when I did miss them. So I do not remember this Cancer Act 1939. I think there's an equivalent in America and most other countries.
Yes.
So it's passed just before the Second World War.
Very timely. So let's take a look at that.
Yeah, like, you know, they've not got anything better to think about and worry about. No, they wanted to pass this thing. So make further provision for the treatment of cancer, to authorize the Minister of Health to lend money to the National Radium Trust, to prohibit certain advertisements relating to cancer. And basically the main thing, advertising, the Act's most notable provision is a clause prohibiting taking any part in publication except under specified conditions of advertisements that offer to treat any person for cancer or to prescribe any remedy thereof or to give any advice in connection with the treatment thereof. Prosecutions do take place, but are rare. But it does happen. You know, not so long ago, just 2017, someone was found guilty of 4 counts of taking part in the publication of advertisements of an offer to treat a person for cancer. And then they were taken to court, fined £4,700. And there's several instances of this.
Well, I'm going to come back to Barbara O'Neill now, because the reason she's banned from working in her home country of Australia, she's completely banned. And to the extent that in 2019, end of 2019, she was actually doing some Zoom calls to other countries, you know, India, Africa, some to the UK. And then she has the Australian intelligence and police knock on her front door and tell her that she's breaking the law because she's not meant to be talking to people about how they can heal. And if she does it one more time, there was a massive fine, and I can't remember if it was 3 or 10 years in prison. And she's going, are you kidding? And they said no. So they're even monitoring her laptop. Okay. Now, the reason that Barbara got taken to court in Australia was she talks about, you know, cancer in the body. She gives lots of protocols, which it is illegal to do because of the 1939 Cancer Act. It is illegal to tell anybody any other way that you can heal yourself from cancer. And she had, you know, lots of people film her lectures.
I wonder why that is, by the way.
I'll come back to that.
Because, sorry for interjecting, but like, there's no other real treatment that's or condition where there it's illegal to do this. I wonder why they've picked cancer. Just if, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's not like they say, oh, you cannot advise people how to heal fractures, or you cannot advise people how to treat, you know, dementia or heart disease. It's just cancer. You can't talk about cancer.
You can't talk about cancer.
That's a bit weird to me.
Like, okay.
So the thing is, look, devil's advocate. You don't want people selling snake oil and taking advantage of desperate people, because desperate people will do desperate things. So if you've got a whole bunch of people out there who are robbing people blind and making them even more sick, and, you know, just charlatans and quacks and scam artists, con artists, that's not a good thing. But equally, if you stifle everything and don't allow people to try and experiment and figure things out, then you might keep the truth hidden and stop people from realizing how to heal themselves. So it's kind of dangerous.
It is dangerous. And so I will come back to 1939 and let's look at what was happening in the world at that moment in time. We were on the brink of the Second World War.
Kind of like what it feels like now.
So let's have a look at, now I don't know if this is fact, but, you know, when I had the tumor in my throat, I did a lot of research on cancer, and I bought a docuseries called The Truth About Cancer, Ty and Charlene Bollinger, and amazing people who were on it, Dr. Mercola. I mean, just fantastic. Sayer Jai, all these amazing people. And I learned so much. Now, I don't know if everything I learned in that docuseries is true. Okay. I'm just going to state that. However, they all seem to be having remarkable results healing people from cancer without cut and burn. Mm. But one of the things I heard on this docuseries was that if you look at what was happening in the world there, then who funded World War II? Hitler did not have the money, the kind of money that it took to build those concentration camps.
Yeah, and the weapons and the armory.
Yeah, he didn't have that kind of money.
Mm.
So who funded it? And so what they said on this docuseries, and it's serious, and it makes complete and utter sense to me, is somebody would have had to have funded all of those massive concentration camps and the money that it cost to build them, who wanted to trial something like, oh, gases. Now, who would that be? Who'd want to trial gases to see what they could, you know, at what point did the gases kill you? And at what point did you survive? So it's my belief they were testing bloody chemo and it was funded by Big Pharma.
Interesting.
It makes perfect sense. And when chemotherapy was developed and they kind of had a solution that they were going to use on people, that coincides with the end of the war. So somebody stopped funding the war.
So I'm aware that there was some, I think like the New York banks were definitely funding Hitler's Nazi regime. I'm sure about that. And if you look, you know, even the Bush family was involved. You know, some American families and businesses were involved in helping Hitler.
And
it's,
when
it's all a bit murky.
Yeah, and when the war was over, you know, and we had the Nuremberg trials and everything, where did all of those scientists go?
Because, Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
It's real. Operation Paperclip.
Exactly.
People should look up Operation Paperclip. You know, you got your NASA scientists and everything. All the there's a mad dash. The Russians wanted the scientists and the Americans and Brits wanted the scientists. And a lot
South
of them,
America did.
Yeah. And a lot of them went over to America, all these Nazis. Mm. And so it's funny, some people say that, who actually did win the war?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think.
But yeah, anyway, so why pass an act?
So
why stifle debate? Science is all about debate, questioning.
So why do
pushing,
you,
yeah, pushing and pushing pulling? And,
so why do you stifle debate? Because you want a solution. You want a solution that is going to make a shitload of money. And chemotherapy is one of the biggest money makers in the world. It's up there with arms. And so you know, we know that Big Pharma lobby governments. We know that. We know that they pay for, you know, to fund the science, that they are incredibly powerful. And I wrote another book this year, actually, called The Wellness Way, A Beginner's Guide to Your Natural Health Systems. And in it, I cite the Fleischner Report, you know, and who funded this whole medical army to go out there.
Oh, wow. Listen, sorry, very, very quickly. Before you go in the Flexner Report, I quickly looked something up while we were chatting. I'm just going to share the screen. I did not know this. Holy fracking moly. I typed in, how much does chemotherapy drugs make? This is according to Statista Health Market Outlook. Oncology drugs reached $176 billion in sales in 2021, more than double that of the next item on the list, which is vaccines, with $88.6 billion in sales. By 2026, cancer drug sales are expected to almost double to $320 billion. Oh my God, I did not know chemo. I used to just think vaccines, statins,
oh no,
all that kind of stuff, SSRIs. They were the big money earners, you know,
chemo is.
Your Viagra. I had no idea it was chemo.
In America, a doctor is given $6,000 every time that he puts somebody forward for chemo. That's why they'll take your children into care if you choose not to do chemo. You know, this is a very, very meticulously planned, corrupt system that we live in. Have no doubts about it. And what happened to Barbara was she works on a protocol on how to heal cancer. And somebody had filmed it and put it up on YouTube. And it was actually a Japanese doctor who had put it up because he'd been trialing her protocol with bicarb of soda wraps. It's only one very, very small part of a cancer treatment. It isn't the be all and end all. You know, there's a whole protocol that you have to do.
Mm.
And this is what has, you know, basically led to her being exiled from her country, her homeland, her farm, her retreat, Misty Mountains. This has led to her exile. She now travels the world speaking. And you know, her husband, Michael, you know, he talks about this in the podcast and he says, you know, what do you want to do, Barbara? Do you want to shut up? You know, you're quite old. We could retire. And she said, do you know, Michael, I feel well. And people need to know this. And so we'll leave Australia and I will travel the world and I will teach people. Now, if you look at the alkaline body, you know, what bicarb of soda does, this goes back to the 1930s, 1936, when Dr. Otto Warburg got the Nobel Prize for his research. And he states very clearly, nothing, including cancer, can grow in an alkaline body. And what bicarb of soda does is it alkalines the body. But that's just one little part of it. But it is illegal. Now, I am inundated at the moment on my social media and with my friends and family, with people saying, oh my God, I've got cancer, or my husband's got cancer, or my daughter's got cancer. You know, I'm absolutely inundated.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, when I was a med student, I was told, oh, look around you in the lecture theatre, one in four of you will have cancer by the time you're 50, 60. I mean, that statistic's not almost like one in two
it's
now.
One in two.
So, I mean, like, despite all the billions spent on cancer research, you know, all the buckets.
Oh, I so want to touch on that one.
Oh, come and give money to cancer research. Oh, you know, we're doing such a good job and we're doing all this research. I mean, the worst investment for your money ever, because like despite all those billions spent, what the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 4 to 1 in 2.
Okay, and we're
that's piss poor,
and we're seeing turbo cancers coming up all over
the
place.
Don't talk about turbo cancers. That's
a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But what I will say to you is, you know, there's this program on Channel 4. I don't watch mainstream TV anymore. My kids used to watch it. They used to watch Bake Off when they were little because they really liked it. And I noticed the other day that there is Stand Up to Cancer Bake Off.
Oh, okay? For God's sake.
So let me
by
ask
the way,
you.
Interesting fact, Mary Berry, who was the host of Bake Off, lived about 6 houses down that way.
Ah, she now lives in Henley.
She does. Yeah. She moved.
Yeah. So let me talk about Stand Up to Cancer.
Yeah.
Bake Off. So what's the one thing that causes sugar? So I did an amazing podcast with the hope dealer, Callie Blackwell. Do you know Callie? Have you interviewed her? Oh my God, you've so got to. And her son, she wrote a book, A Boy in a Billion. And it is one of the most moving podcasts I've ever recorded. I laughed, I cried. And basically her son was dying of loads of different types of cancer. The doctors had put him on adult levels, even though he was a child. They then put him onto like double levels. They were just like pumping him with chemo and just, you know, kind of saying, right, he's going to die, so we're going to do this. And she smuggled into the hospital some herbal remedies. Various herbal remedies, and then, you know, went on to CBD, and then went, you know, increased the stakes, which is incredibly nerve-wracking for a mother to do, because if you're caught, you'll end up in prison, your child will get made a ward of court, you won't be with them when they die. But she thought, I have nothing to lose. And as he started to get better, a bit better on these natural remedies, she said to the hospital, listen, can I take him away for one last holiday? And they said, well, we don't think he can make it. She said, please, I just want to take him to the sun, to Spain. And so they agreed, and he was kind of wrapped up and went to Spain for what was meant to be a week. Callie kept him there for a month, had him on a natural protocol using, you know, THC, CBD, you know, lots of natural protocols, came back a completely different boy. And all the doctors in the hospital could say is, oh my God, the holiday obviously did him so much good. And she's like, yeah. And she wrote this book, A Boy in 8 Billion. She was on mainstream TV actually with it. She went on Loose Women and This Morning. But, you know, her story, please go and check out that podcast. You got to get her on as a guest. Amazing, amazing woman. But, you know, she can't come back to the UK. She would like to come back to the UK, but she can't. You know, she's basically now has to live in America. It is illegal to treat people.
So she can't come back to the UK. Why?
That's complicated, not for me to say.
Okay.
But, you know, she can't. And you know, you can do your own research. You know, Cal is very open. And she, you know, basically cured her son through, you know, the cannabis plant. And yet it's still illegal. You know who has the patent on cannabis plants in the UK?
No.
Theresa May's husband.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Really?
Yeah, really.
How can you patent a plant?
Oh, do you know, when cannabis came across from South America to North America back in the 20s and 30s, which, you know, we've just gone through the Fletchner Report. Nobody's allowed to use natural medicines anymore. The medical schools have been now funded by the Carnegie Foundation. Mm. They've been, you know, shut down. Anybody that's preaching quackery is kicked out and not allowed to practice while they develop these synthetic medicines. Marijuana is introduced into the US. Now, where does the name marijuana come from? Again, I talk about this in my book.
No idea.
So the propaganda films of the early 1920s, the old black and white silent movies, they used to have the screaming, marauding Mexicans go, ah, with their mad hands.
I'm sure I did read about it somewhere, yeah.
Basically, they chose the two most common names in South America, Marijuana.
That's it.
To label this drug as something that would send you insane, was dangerous. But the American government took the patent on it, and you're not even allowed to patent nature. But the American government took the patent on it. It's just,
wow.
These rabbit holes are so...
And it's definitely Theresa May's husband.
Yep.
What's his name?
I can't remember. You're looking it up and you can't find it. Oh, my God.
But this is crazy. Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable.
She goes to church in a little village in Oxfordshire, Berkshire. Should I say where it is or not?
Yes.
Yeah. She goes to Sonning Church a bit. And I know that there are some people that have been demonstrating outside the church, or they were a few years ago, with placards saying, why's your husband got the placard? So I saw that and kind of, so let's have a little look into that. But to my understanding, and I'm sorry, Theresa May, if I'm wrong, but that's what I've heard. Also, Boris Johnson's moved to a little village called Brightwell-cum-Sotwell. I'm just going to put that one out there as well in Oxfordshire.
What's it called?
Brightwell-cum-Sotwell. So let's you know, if all these politicians don't have anything to hide, let's give their addresses, shall we?
Brightwell-cum-Sotwell. Brightwell-cum-Sotwell. That's a really weird name.
It was where I was born.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is just too much. It's too much. God, nothing should really surprise me anymore. I mean, I just find out so much weird stuff now. We weren't taught about the Fletchner Report either. And that's really quite big. And it was the Carnegie family and the Rockefellers behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I did a podcast with Jacob Nordengard about the Rockefeller family. And it was like, how do we take over the medical establishment? We get rid of all the naturopaths, the homeopaths, the herbalists, everything. The osteopaths, the chiropractors, we regulate everything, and it all has to be petrochemical based drugs. And then we influence, you know, the associations, the licensing boards, the medical journals, the medical schools,
and the governments.
Yeah, and there's a massive culling of medical
yeah,
schools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Massive. I mean, that's what happened. You know, I talk about this in my book because it is, one paper, and Abraham Fletcher, who wrote it, he wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a scientist. He was just paid by the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundation. He was just on the payroll. That's it. You know, it's...
And that was also, I think, about the time when they started saying anyone who isn't an establishment doctor, you're a quack.
Yep. That's
it was,
right.
That's when they started like going, you don't want to go see a quack and a crazy
snake
person.
Snake oil and... Yeah.
Yeah. You need to go and see one of our proper doctors.
Proper doctors.
Like wear a white coat and stethoscope, put the badge of honor, and then get people to like go, okay, that's the authority figure that we have to go and listen to.
And trust and believe. And, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton said it on my podcast, you know, the third biggest killer of mankind is Western medicine. We know that. It's in a lot of reports. And
there's a funny name for it, so that it's the true nature of it's concealed. Iatrogenic.
Yes, iatrogenic.
Isn't that lovely?
Which is Latin, isn't it? Is it Latin or Greek?
I think it's Latin.
Latin. Iatrogenic. Now, that is also, iatrogenic means that it's, you know, the Western medicine is killing you, but that is when it's prescribed and taken properly. This isn't like my mum, who was once in hospital, you know, many moons ago, and I went in to see her and she was virtually dead, you know, couldn't breathe, couldn't open her eyes. I hit the button, the doctors came running and they're going, oh my God, let's quickly get her. And I said, you don't touch her, you leave her alone. And I just got into bed with my mum and I said, if you want to die, mum, now, it's okay, I'm here and I'm just going to hold you till you die. And I lay there for about 4 hours with her and the doctors kept coming over and I kept going, fuck off. And then she opened her eyes and I went, oh my God, you're all right. And she went, they gave me my drugs 3 times this morning. And I kept telling them I'd already had them.
Billy. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So iatrogenic care, iatrogenic disease or iatrogenic death or whatever the iatrogenic, what it means is disease or problem caused by medical treatment or by a doctor. Diagnosis, manner or treatment of a physician resulting in a medical disorder, you know, by treatment or comments of a physician. So it's not like they've done something wrong. They're just doing what their job. And, you know, I did a talk recently in the Peak District about navigating the sick care system. Could give hundreds of examples. You cannot take anything for granted. And this idea that you just put the doctor on a pedestal and trust them. You can't do that.
Can't do it.
Can't do that.
They don't know any better. They've been indoctrinated.
But it's even worse than that. I'll give you an example, right? So hold on 1 second. Let me just find the transcript. Alec Baldwin, I Am a God transcript, right? So he's playing this doctor. All right, it's from The Malice. Here we go. Here we go, right? You like this, right? So I love this. So Alec Baldwin is this Dr. Jed Hill, and he's in a boardroom facing with he's got his solicitor and he's got solicitors opposite him, right? And so Mr. Riley is the lawyer on the opposing side, and he goes, do you have a God complex? And Mr. Adams, who is Alec Baldwin's solicitor, goes, this is not acceptable. And Dr. Hill, Alec Baldwin, goes, no, let him address me. And Mr. Adams goes, Jed, don't do this. And Dr. Hill goes, no, it's about time. I got to give some answers here. So Mr. Adams, the defendant lawyer, goes, stop typing. This is off the record. And Dr. Hill goes, the question is, do I have a God complex? Mr. Riley. Dr. Kessler says yes. Dr. Hill. Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. He carries on. Or if you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical school boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer from acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis, and you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November the 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. So you ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
Oh, my God. I mean, this comes back to the podcast when you came on my show and you were talking about, you know, your industry, you know, when you were training. And again, a phenomenal podcast, and what it's like working in the system with the surgeons and with, you know, that God complex.
Oh, yeah.
It's real. It's real. And I have to tell you, because I've never told you this, but I had one person DM me on Insta, and they said, "Oh, Philly, I listen to your podcast every week while I'm cleaning my house." I listened to today's podcast with Doc Malik, and within 10 minutes, I just had to sit down on the sofa with my mouth wide open. I was just like, oh my God, is this the system that I thought was put in place to help me?
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad. And again, I understand why people don't want to know and hide away. But the truth is, you know, it's not what we think it is. And look, full disclosure, look, the vast majority of doctors and nurses and all the people working there in NHS are lovely people, you know.
But with good aims, they don't know.
With good aims, with good intentions. And, you know, I went on GB News recently, and I think I was invited by accident. I don't think they knew what I was going to say. But there was 95% of the stuff that I wanted to say that I didn't get to say. So I'm going to be writing a Substack on it. And it's going to be why the NHS is the way it is, and is damaged and dangerous, and what I didn't get to say on the GB News show. Okay. And people need to understand this, because it doesn't matter if it's America or here. You know, people think they're very different. You know, the American model, private insurance, and over here, no, it's public. No. Yeah. No, all it is about getting money from us, the plebs, and giving it to the big corporations. And in America, they use an insurance model. And here, they use a government model.
A tax model.
There is no other difference. There is no, it's managed healthcare. It's designed to profit the corporations, and it's designed to make us sick and dependent. And that's it. The only difference is how they extract the money from us. Mm-hmm. But everything else is the same. And you don't have true autonomy. You don't have true preventative medicine, holistic care. It's quite sinister.
That's why Barbara O'Neill is such a threat to the authorities, because, you know, that's why her Wikipedia is, you know, rubbish. That's why I couldn't book a venue. And then I put one clip up with Barbara and Michael on TikTok, and she just mentioned about bicarb of soda wraps as part of a protocol for cancer. And she wasn't even saying, she was just saying that she had said that and a Japanese doctor had put it up on YouTube. So she was just reciting what happened, what she said in the court. And that got taken down off TikTok. And I'm on a warning at the moment. You cannot mention cancer.
Do you know what's really funny? I really question what's going on with social media. you know, there's algorithms out there that are clearly just, they can latch onto things and then get rid of it. And like they've just done TikTok. So why is it certain things can be said and certain things cannot be said? So people think, oh, well, you know, it was really bad during COVID, but it's not bad anymore. Yes, it is. So take Twitter, for example. Every post I put up, I will get a sex bot comment come straight up. And it's like, really not good, right? It's kind of blurred out. I'd block it straight away, but what the hell, man? And it's either that or a kind of weird trading scam kind of thing that comes up. And quite a lot of people have said that they've got the same thing. So what happens is when this comes up on my feed, it triggers an algorithm saying, oh, this has got sensitive content and we should, you know, minimize the reach of this. So while I have freedom of speech, I don't have freedom of reach.
Yeah.
People are not seeing my comments because I've got sex bots latching onto everything I post. Now, why aren't the social media companies, why can't Twitter or X, whatever it's called, get rid of these sex bots? Why can't they destroy them? And I think it's so deliberate. I think it's deliberate to target certain accounts so that they don't get the reach in the platform than some other ones do. And there's all this manipulation going on. There's some weird shenanigans, and we do not really have proper freedom of speech. And we've just got censorship in weird other ways, other routes and avenues. But some are more blatant, like TikTok taking down your video, giving you a strike. YouTube have done that to me as well.
Yeah, no, I've taken two of my videos down. Yeah, no, the first strikes that I got on YouTube, I hadn't even published. I was holding them up in the YouTube cloud.
Oh, wow.
And it was Dr. Sam White and Dr. Sarah Myhill. So Sam White, you know, we decided not to publish. We obviously had to take it out of the YouTube cloud, decided not to publish it. Sarah Myhill, I was desperate to get that podcast out. So I said to the team, right, let's edit. And we're going to have to be hard here and edit so that it's YouTube friendly. We published it after this massive, I mean, I think it was only about 15 minutes long by the end, published it, and we got taken down my third strike and I was on a 3-month ban.
Right. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Something's not right. So why is it there's some other people with very big medical YouTube accounts who were very pro-vaccine at the beginning and now are claiming to be skeptical and questioning, and they're still allowed to talk and publish the videos? And I just don't get it. And people say, oh, no, but they're very clever on how they talk and what they say and what they do.
And they quote newspapers.
And they quote newspapers. I BS to all of that, because I didn't even post anything controversial and my video got just struck off straight away. Like, and then I got a community guidance downgrade and I hadn't posted anything for a month. It said, your channel, you know, has been breaching community standards and, you know, it's been downgraded. I'm like, what have I even, I've not even done anything. And so something weird is going on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, I've been in so my first TikTok account got taken down. The first post that got taken down were the health benefits of radishes. The second post were the health benefits of stinging nettles. The third post were the health benefits of pine needle tea, which I kind of thought might get taken down. But I didn't say what the pine needle tea was. I actually sung it. And I said, so I'm in the health shop and I'm just getting some pine needle tea. So I kind of thought that would get me through the algorithm. No. Down. Then I got.
So you know what it is? You're targeted.
Oh yeah.
So basically, it's like, no, you got a mark on you, and they don't want anything up.
Yeah. So what I would say to your audience is, please go and find my podcast and subscribe to it. Find my social media channels and mark me in your favorites, because you know they do everything they can to take. You know.
Do you know what that is? Actually, quite important as well. Like, I've got thousands of people listening to this podcast. What I would say is, if you're listening and enjoying it, and please listen to Philly's as well, Philly J Lay. Look, it's all in the show notes.
It's the wellness way with Philly J Lay.
Yeah, and it'll be in the show notes and the Substack and the website. All the links will be there. Check out our podcast; they're fantastic. And you know, if you listen to my one or Philly's, just, you know, follow and
write a review. Write a comment.
Just give us five stars.
Help us.
Do anonymous. You know, because I've recently started getting trolling people giving me low ratings and giving me really stupid comments. And it's like, come on. Like, you're clearly not someone who, I'll give an example, right? So someone's given me a 1-star, right? Suspended from practicing medicine. Well, COVID is not a hoax.
vaccines work, and BBC continues to be a stalwart of our democracy. Listen to your own peril. Clickbaiting and disinformation. They gave me a one star. What the hell, man?
Go and take your vaccines, love.
Right, or him. Just go get your booster. You know, so what I would say is, if you're listening, do me a favor, go on Apple Podcasts, go on Spotify, give me a nice review. It does make a difference.
It really does make a difference.
Some people will be like, but how? It does. So, you know, follow, leave a rating, review, and if you can subscribe, a fiver, a month, a cup of coffee.
Or share the fuck out of it. Just share it.
Share it.
Send it to everybody you know that is open to thinking outside the box. And, you know, I want to come back to cancer.
Oh, yeah.
For a moment.
Please don't get me into trouble.
I'm not going to get you into trouble.
Please don't do that.
I do want to come back to cancer for a moment and just say to people, everybody has cancer in them. It is a natural part of the body. It's there for a reason to do a job. And when it goes AWOL, it starts clinging together and making lumps, saying, okay, we're going to hold on tight together. And your body is pushing it into one place and saying, okay, we don't want you floating all over the place. We're just going to put you into a ball. And hopefully your owner is going to find that ball and they're going to change their lifestyle. Because it is environment. Everything is environment. And we know that from the works of Dr. Bruce Lipton. And, you know, there are wonderful books, you know, Kellyanne Turner, Radical Remissions. You know, there are, and Radical Hope. There are amazing books.
So listen, I don't know what the answer is, but what I do know is it's not the model we're being told, which is, oh, it's in your genes.
No.
You know what? It's you're faulty or you smoke or whatever. The thing is, it's clearly something else. Thomas Seyfried is coming back on my podcast to talk about the metabolic origins. And, you know, I think Otto Wahlberg also talked about the metabolic origins of cancer.
Yeah.
But, you know, David Rasnick has got a theory about the chromosomes, aneuploidy or something like that. He's going to come back and talk about the cancer. I hear things about parasites in cancer, yep. And I don't know what that's all about.
Ivermectin and cancer.
Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the cause of cancer is. And maybe it's multifactorial, but I think environment, toxins, stress. You know, I had Andrew Scarborough on at the conference and I was speaking to him and I was doing a live podcast interview, you know, asking about, you know, what made him get brain cancer in his mind. And he was saying, I went through a lot of trauma and he's going to come on my podcast in June or July and talk about it. And so stress, a tremendous amount of stress.
Absolutely.
So something causes it, and maybe it's multifactorial. So
it's multifactorial.
Toxins, environment, metabolic imbalance, stress.
Never underestimate stress.
Exactly. But the idea that, oh, it's just in your genes, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Don't worry, it's not your fault.
Well,
it's just your genes.
Yeah, Dr. Bruce Lipton says on my podcast that less than 1% of illness, disease, is actually to do with our genes. But, you know, again, we come back to pharma.
But you can modulate it, can't you?
Yeah, they did this whole gene program where they wanted everybody to put their genes in and, you know, they're going to go, oh, everybody's got this gene. But, you know, what's that? That's a money-making.
And what came out of it? But remember, what came out of the human genes?
Less genes than a fruit fly.
Yeah, right. So the whole human genome project, we're going to do this and then we're going to discover all the cures. It's been the biggest flop ever. Because they're like, like, there's nothing much here to do. Like,
nothing to see here.
Isn't it really funny? Isn't it really funny about the mRNA jabs that they were actually started off as cancer treatments? Did you know that?
I had heard that.
And you know what's really funny? Angus Dalgleish, the oncologist that I had right way back early on my podcast, he was talking about making vaccines for the treatment of cancers.
Well, that's very much in the news at the moment.
And I was like, oh, really? Because I've done the whole 180. You know, I'm a wake normie, late to the party. I don't trust these vaccines anymore. And I, you know, look, pre-2020, I was just like, I don't really want a flu shot. But I was kind of ambivalent. I wasn't really passionate or this way or that way. I was just like, no, I don't want that. Now I'm like, no fracking way. The whole thing is BS. Vaccines for cancer treatment? No, thanks.
Well, this is I've wondered what's going on, and I we're not going to give very much time to the royal family because neither of us are a fan.
I don't care about that.
No, but you do have to wonder why this has come up in the news now with so many members. You know, the king, Catherine, Fergie. You have to look at why this is so prominent. And I don't think it's just, you know, the one in two scenario. You know, I think that this will be manipulated in some way to get a cancer vaccine.
Everything is manipulated. Yeah. Everything you get through the box, you need to understand, is a form of mind control and manipulation.
Yeah.
And it's not woo-woo, quackery. It's real. You know, you just need to look at the Tavistock Institute, how it goes back 100 years plus, how military intelligence has been involved with them, psychology and the psychological warfare. They had the writers like Aldous Huxley and all these other people involved in it. And in America, they've got similar things in Stanford and the Elsinore or something like that unit. And through the music, through the media, through the TV, through the programs, you've got predictive programming.
Yep.
Everything is about controlling the way we think and making us maneuver and behave in the way they want. And the best way to be immune to it is not to consume their BS and to subscribe and follow and rate your podcast and my podcast.
Absolutely. And buy my book.
Oh, God, yeah. Buy your book. I need to get on with my book.
Yes, you need to. I tell you what I've done as a book, and I don't know if anybody else has done this, and I think it's a really good idea, and you should do it. So I've written a book based on my story and my findings in my healing journey, but I've written it through the eyes of my podcast guests as well. Oh. So if I'm talking about something, so it is an ebook, but it is, I mean, it's taken me a year to write, and it's an interactive ebook. And there's a lot of writing, you know, I'm talking about, you know, in far greater depth, my story. But then I, you know, if I'm talking about DNA, then you know, I bring on, there's just a little click. You just click and you can listen to Dr. Bruce Lipton. If I'm talking about vitamins and minerals, you can click on there and listen to Dr. Bradley Campbell on that. You know, if I'm talking about fluoride in the water, you can just click on there and listen to Joy Warren from the Fluoride Free Association. Mm. So I've just kind of intertwined all of my podcasts and also my meditation album, The Wellness Awakening from Past Lives to Passing. So, you know, if I'm talking about sleep, you can listen to a podcast on sleep and then you just click on the link to go to my sleep meditation.
I'm going to say something and I think it's really important. I want everyone who loves my podcast and listens to it, even though I'm very prolific and people tell me, oh, we don't have time to listen to all your podcasts, I'm going to do a shout out for some other podcasts. I want people to check out Efrat Fenixon, You're the Voice. I want people to check out Heroje Morici's Geopolitics and Empire podcast. And I want people to check out your podcast, The Wellness Way. And I think it's important, you know, and I'm not worried or nervous about, oh no, people are going to stop listening to my podcast. They're going to be like too busy listening to all these other amazing podcasters. And, you know, I'm going to lose market share or audience. Because look, I'm going to make it very clear. I don't subscribe to that win-lose philosophy. No. Fracking bullshit.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I subscribe to win-win.
Absolutely. You
know? But guess what? There's a lot of people who don't think like that.
I mean, you and I have become friends since we first met on our podcast, and I'm really honored to call you a friend. And, you know, I'm introducing you to Barbara O'Neill, and hopefully she's going to come on your podcast this summer. But, you know, I said to you, you've got to come and meet my sponsors. They'll love you. Vivo Barefoot, you know, kind of, they will absolutely love you. And you know, this is not Simon Squibb. I don't know if you know Simon Squibb. He's a multimillionaire businessman. But at 15 years old, he watched his father die in front of him. And then the week later, his mother kicked him out of the house.
Oh, no.
And he lived on the streets.
Oh, no.
And he's got an amazing story, turned his life around, and now he helps other people. And I'm going to give a shout out now because he's got a new book coming out. And
Simon Squibb.
Squibb, yeah.
Sounds like a superhero.
And he gives money away, and he's got these staircases. There's one in Twickenham, and there's a couple of others in the world. So he's bought a property and turned it into a staircase up to heaven. And well, I don't know if it's to heaven, but I presume it's to heaven. And you can write letters to this staircase at this address and tell him what your business is and how much money you need and you know what you need it for. And every day he gives money away to help people start their businesses. I mean, he's just amazing. And he's written a book because he's so passionate about the fact that it isn't a give and take society.
What is that? Is that What's Your Dream?
I think it is, yes. But we're not a give and take society. We just have to keep giving, because the one thing the system cannot break down is kindness. And it's the last quote, actually, in my first book, The Natural Wellness Journal, is that quote from Caroline, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. It's the one thing they can't take away from us.
Yeah. I'm really happy to recommend other people's podcasts. It's just, it's funny. I've reached out to a few people and said, you know, I'd love to have you on my podcast. And more than one have turned around and said, no, I've got my own podcast. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but don't you want to come on mine?
I was like, so? I know you've got your own podcast. I thought we'd have a lot to talk about. I'm like, no, but that'll take away from what I'm doing. And I was like,
oh God.
What?
Yeah.
What? People have that mindset.
No, I know.
You know, another thing I've realized. Oh God, I'm so fracking naive. It's just like I'm such a
you're not naive. Just as you said, late to the party.
No. Once you hear me, you'll understand. I'm also a rookie dad. Like I still make so many mistakes. Like I don't pack.
We all do, and it's
the water bottles, or I miss something, or we're in the car. I'm driving them to school. I'm like, who brushed their teeth? And everyone's like quiet. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to get you guys to brush your teeth. Like, you know. Simple little things like that. But anyway, one of the things I was very naive about up until recently was I genuinely believed all the predator class of evil, bad people out there was where the narcissists and the sociopaths and the psychopaths were hanging out. I thought all these, you know, nasty people were hanging out in the one place, in the bad place, the bad camp, the side, the army of darkness, right? Mm. And I thought, all of us good people, nice people, right? We're safe. Nah, guess what? The psychopaths and the narcissists and the sociopaths, they're everywhere. Including on our side. They're talking the talk, but when you get to know them, you're like, oh my God, this person is proper narcissist. This person is a proper psychopath.
I know. But
it's kind of disappointing.
You know, I try to keep out of all of that, and I try to keep out of all of the debates about the controlled opposition and that person's a shill. I'm sure I've been called a shill. I don't give a fuck. I'm just here. I'm a woman that just, you know, wants to tell my story and just go, no, this is not happening on my fucking watch. This is not happening.
I love it. Well, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying my best. So tell me about what you're organizing with Barbara and Neil, because I think this is important. What have you set up? What's going to be happening in June?
So it's a short visit. There will be a private dinner that I can't really talk about. But
okay, so quickly on that note, I tried to get a babysitter. Shout out to my friend Marianne. I asked her because she's offered to babysit for my kids, and this is the second time, and the last time she couldn't do it, and this time I said, "Can you babysit for me? I want to go to this private dinner invitation to see Barbara Neal." She went, "If I get a babysitter, can I come too?" And I said, "I don't think you can. I think it's like selected guests." And she was like, "Huh? Well, tell your friend I'm like I wanted to come." Just making it clear, you know, it is a private, limited guest thing. I'm not lying about that.
No. It's a very small private dinner to try and get as many people in a room together that, you know, we can try and forge forward a plan on how we're going to, you know, change this paradigm, because we all need to join forces. Nobody, you know, you've got a lot of, excuse me, big doctors who think that, you know, they're talking a bit about natural health and, you know, they're giving the plebs the basis of how to look after themselves. But, you know, again, that not joining in and helping each other. So this is just to try and get people together. But I do have tickets for the following night, Tuesday, the 11th of June. I'm keeping the location a little bit hush-hush at the moment.
Because you don't want any trouble.
I don't want any trouble.
Last-minute cancellations and whatnot.
Having found it incredibly hard to get a venue for Barbara, The last thing I need is.
So, when you're booking these places, do they ask who you're booking it for?
Well, they do. So, I was actually saying it was the Wellness Way Presents. But then my daughter actually said to me, I think you need to tell them, Mum, because if they cancel at the last minute, you're really, really stuffed. So, I just said, okay, it's the Wellness Way Presents, Barbara O'Neill. And then all these lovely flow of emails just stop. And so I phone them and I go, everything okay? And they go, no, our superiors have said you can't use our venue.
That's so bizarre.
And I'm going, were you going to email me? And they said, yeah, we would have. I'm like, really? Really?
Wow.
But, you know, there is no freedom of speech left in this country.
No, there's not.
Yeah, you know, people think that we still have it. No, you don't.
No.
You don't. You talk about what the government want you to talk about. You don't step outside the box. And
whether it's public or private, the corporations and the government bodies, institutions, it's the same. If you speak out of line and go against the government's state-sanctioned narrative, you get what came to me, ultimately. Mm. You know, what did I do? Did I kill someone? Did I chop off the wrong leg? Did I sexually abuse someone? Did I kidnap someone? Did I harm anyone? Did I extort? Did I take money off someone? Did I lie to anyone?
No. You're obviously not an MP.
I didn't do anything to anyone.
No.
Not one patient, not one member of society, nothing. All I did was speak out against the nonsense that I'm seeing in the world around me. And for that, I've lost my career. Now, people need to understand this is the state of the world that we live in. So go back to Barbara O'Neill. You've found a venue.
Yep.
What's going to happen on that Tuesday? When is it? Like what time? How many hours? What's going to happen?
So we're still working out the fine details at the moment, but I'm looking at the moment for a choir because it is a corporate place. And, you know, I had wanted a really beautiful kind of old kind of church or something, or, you know, the Grand Central Hall, but they wouldn't touch us. So I'm looking for a choir and some music for people to come in. There will be a few, not many, kind of 14 little stalls of products that I really like, especially detox products, because I think everybody has got to be on the detox now, you know, big time. And, you know, my sponsors, Viva Barefoot, London Nootropics, will be there. And Barbara and I will have our books there. You'll listen to some music. And what I really want people to do is just to kind of get there an hour early and talk to people, wander around and talk to people, exchange numbers, find groups, find your tribe of awakened people. And then at roughly 6 o'clock, maybe 6:30, we're still, as I said, working out the timings. Then I will introduce Barbara, talk a little bit about how I manifested meeting her, a little bit about my story, introduce Barbara, who will do a talk based on her new book, Sustain Me. So I've had to give in details of her book and her talk. There are things we're not allowed to cover in our talks. But then after that, we're going to do question and answers. So if people want to ask the difficult questions, I suggest they ask them then in the question and answers, because we won't be able to speak about them. But
so I'm definitely coming to the dinner on the 10th.
Yep.
I will not be able to come on the 11th.
All right, my lovely.
Because again, babysitting issues.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, my wife is the main breadwinner.
I know.
She's gone full time. So she leaves the house at just before 6 a.m, doesn't get home till 7:30.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously. But she's an amazing woman. She said to me, you know, you've lost your job. Doesn't matter. I'll pick up. You know, I won't be part-time anymore. I'll go full-time. You just look after the kids, do what you have to do, and, you know, it'll be fine. So,
and it will. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're on the right side of history.
Yeah. No, I know that. I'm very happy. I wouldn't change anything any other way. I put up the screen, by the way, here so that I'm sharing your website, phillyjlay.com.
Yep.
And if you go straight there, you'll see the Wellness Way Presents Barbara O'Neill live in London, June 11th, 2024. And you can click And, you know, if I click that sign, and there it goes to the Wellness Way Presents, and then you book the ticket. And that's it.
Brilliant.
So I highly recommend people do that, because that kind of thing doesn't, that kind of event will not happen very often. You don't get a chance to meet Barbara O'Neill. Pretty amazing. I really hope it goes ahead and there's no last minute.
There won't be. Don't put that in there.
I know.
I'm not.
It'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's great. It's not fine. It's great.
Everything is great.
Barbara, the more they try and suppress her, the more her work gets out there. And we've got to the point where people are, you know, even if they're not waking up to the lies of COVID and injections and things like that, people are wanting to come off Western medicines now. They are kind of going, you know,
something's not right.
Yeah, these make me feel shit.
I mean, like, just think about it. You know, I went at this conference that I was just at, and I was talking about all the sick care problems and the problems with the NHS and all that kind of stuff. At the end, you know, a person stood up, Rachel, and she said, I'm a retired GP. I've just retired this year. And I'd just like to say everything that Ahmed Malik has just said is 100% correct. And then she said things that made me go, wow. So she was saying, in her room, the computer screen, before the patient even comes in, little pop-ups come on. Prescribe this patient statins, prescribe this patient, you know, this medication, you know, they're not on it, and their age, whatever, blah, blah. So it doesn't matter what the person's coming in with, you know,
going out with that.
The GP is kind of like going to have to say, oh, by the way, you know, you're over 50, and you know, if you start statins, it's going to reduce your risk of heart attacks, bullshit. Or you need to start a high blood pressure medication, and then angiotensin ACE inhibitor, and a blah, 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 and a blah, and you should go on a proton pump inhibitor as well. So suddenly, you know, the average patient now has got like 8 to 10 medications. And she was like, you know, when we were training earlier on, like in the 80s, you know, if you had a patient who was on 3 medications, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's a high-risk patient. Why is this patient on 3 medication? Mm-hmm. And do they really need it? And can we get them off it? And, you know, and that was unusual, having a patient with 3 medications. She goes, now it's like they've all got their little wee pill box.
Yeah, my mum was on 17 medications a day when she died. And I saw her doctor on multiple occasions going, let's get her off some of these, shall we? And despite my multiple visits to my mum's GP with her, I think I got her off one medication because he kept saying, no, she really needs that one. And she needs that one because she gets a few side effects with that one. So, you know, we can't. I'm going, we'll take her off both then. And they're going, no, because she takes that one for the side effects of that one. I'm going, one medication I got her off.
Wow. So another thing this Dr. Rachel told me was, and in the audience, was the fact that, you know, when she doesn't then prescribe these drugs that are coming up, popping up, you know, you haven't given this many drugs, she gets called up and has to speak to her colleagues, the partners.
Yeah.
And they say, why are you not prescribing enough drugs? We're not hitting targets and we're losing money.
That's what happened to Dr. Sarah Mayo.
And you're like, what? So if you don't prescribe drugs, or if you try and treat people with lifestyle measures, you get pulled out by your colleagues. Your colleagues don't like you anymore. They're like, we've missed out on our bonuses and we're not getting paid.
We're not getting our skiing holiday.
We're not getting our skiing holiday. Our kids aren't going to go through private school because you didn't prescribe the goddamn drugs.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and if that doesn't work, then you start getting referred for investigations. Then you have to start answering questions.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
which again is what happened to Sarah Myhill and Dr. Sam White. Right? Both of them have tried to hand in their licenses. They don't want to be GPs. They don't want to be prescribing drugs. And still, the GMC won't let them and continues to take them to court.
100%. So people say to me, you know, oh, like you got struck off. And I'm like, no, I gave in my license. And it's like, well, why would you do that? Have a look around you. Like, have you seen what's happened to Sarah Myhill? She's been pulled up 34, 35
38.
Times? 38.
When she was on my podcast, well, it was 38.
38 times?
But she was lovely. And she just said, but Dr. Sarah Myhill, 38, GMC, 0, because not one patient testified against her.
I know, but the problem is the process is the punishment.
Yeah.
Right? So, look, I'm not Sarah Myhill's position. You know, she's got a lovely place. She's paid off the mortgage. She's comfortable. She's at that point where she doesn't worry. The kids have all grown up. But I've spoken to her about this and she goes, look, Ahmed, you know, if I was in your position, I totally get what you've done. And to be honest, in hindsight, I wish I'd done that. Like, just say, I want out. Because she doesn't even practice conventional GMC type medicine. She doesn't prescribe drugs or anything. She just wants away from all of that now. And it's like, and I thought, what's the point of me being registered with the GMC where it's literally just a noose around my neck? Any BS anonymous complaint can launch an investigation and then I'm in trouble. So I was like, I don't want to be another Sam White or Muhammad Adil or Jane Donahan or Jerry Waters, because what they do is they drag your name through the mud. You know, you just need to Google Daily Mail, Sarah Myhill, Jane Donahan. They'll put a funny picture of you on the news. And to be honest, look, there's a chance they're going to do that with me anyway. I'll be in the press, Dr. Malik, quack, dishonest, you know, disgruntled, discredited, whatever. There's a chance they'll do that. But if I don't want the GMC to be able to attack me. I just don't need that crap from them. On that note, however, I'm going to be launching something in the next month or so, which is going to be like a health guide.
Lovely.
So I'm going to offer consultations. You can book online, because I think a lot of people don't know how to navigate the system, don't know how to navigate through their illness, and don't know what to ask their doctors, don't know whether they can trust what their doctors have told them. And you know what? My brain is bursting with knowledge and information. So I'm happy to educate people.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's really, really wonderful.
So I'm going to start doing that.
Because the thing is that the general public, and you know, I felt this very much when I started my journey, you feel stupid. You kind of go, well, if I ask my doctor about this, I mean, I was made to feel stupid.
Well, that's the point. That's the whole point. Yeah.
When I sat in front of four consultants and kept asking if everything was connected and they didn't know. And I was made to feel stupid for asking that question.
Do you know what they do when they don't know? They turn on you. They either try and confuse you with jargon or belittle you.
Yeah.
So for example, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and our first appointment with the oncologist, I said, is there anything we can do? No, there's nothing. I said, what about diet, for example? My dad's diabetic. You know, is there anything we can do from a diet point of view? What do you think her response was?
Absolutely nothing you can do through diet.
She laughed at my face.
Yeah. No.
Diet?
Yeah.
No, don't be silly.
Yeah.
No, that was her response.
I know, because my best friend died of ovarian cancer. Well, you know, the treatment. And I remember going to see the oncologist with her, and I asked about diet, and he just said it makes absolutely no difference. And I said, well, you know, I've read a lot of research that says it does. And so when we came out and I said to her, listen, please don't listen to him, Polly, because that's bullshit. I know it makes a difference. And she said, listen, he's head of oncology for ovarian cancer for Europe.
What do you think?
Of course I'm going to listen to him.
Oh, for God's sake.
There's nothing you can, it's so hard to change people's minds. She did do some things. She went vegetarian. She, but the sugar's a problem.
Because sugar is a problem.
Cancer feeds on sugar.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we were talking about Stand Up for Cancer, and what are they doing? They're baking fucking cakes, which give you cancer. But again, when Polly died, a friend of ours decided to cycle from London to Paris to raise money for cancer research. And she told Polly she was going to do this before she died. And everybody sponsored her except me.
Mm.
And I remember going to see one of the last visits I had with Polly in the hospice that she could speak. And she said, please, please sponsor Sarah. And I said, I can't. I can't. I cannot give money to cancer research.
No.
Because it has been billions and billions. And if only 1% of that had been spent on diet and nutrition, we wouldn't be where we are today. But it's not. It is spent to fund Big Pharma. Like they need that money.
Right.
And it hasn't worked.
No,
and so what I did for Sarah, I said, I can't sponsor you. And Polly was hurt, and I said, I'm sorry, you know. And you know, people said to me, she's gonna die, can't you just do it to make her happy? I'm like, no, I can't. And so I said, what I'm gonna do, Polly, is I'm gonna buy Sarah a lifetime membership for the Soil Association. Let's look at our soil.
Yeah,
if you want to start looking at cancer.
Perfect.
So that's what I did.
Good for you.
You know, don't be bullied. Don't think these charities are doing anything except funding Big Pharma.
Can I ask you something? How tall are you?
I'm 5 foot.
Do you know what? You're a giant of a person. No, I mean it.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I mean, your spirit and your energy, your ferocity. I mean, more people need that. More people need that.
I just, I don't know where it comes from. I just, I didn't feel like that in, well, for the last, you know, the 10 years after the spinal fusion went wrong. But 2020 happened and I'm just like,
Damn right. No, I get that.
And I wrote my first book in 2.5 months because I just believed if everybody knew what I knew, if everybody knew that we can heal ourselves naturally, they just wouldn't fall for the bullshit.
All right. Well, listen, before we end, I just want to say to everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. As usual, you're my clan. I love you all. Please subscribe to my show. It's just $5 a month. It's nothing. It's $5 a month for a lot of podcasts. And it's not just the fact that you're showing appreciation and supporting me. This is how you fight back. You fight back against the evil bastards by making me keep going on and making sure that they can't get to me. You know, because that's how they try and get you. They starve you of your funds and your ability to look after your family. Yep. And then that puts stress on your family and your partner and everything. And that's what they want. That's what they want to do to me. They want to destroy me. And I'm not going to let the bastards do that. So please support me. Like, support, leave a good review. I'd really appreciate it. Check out Philly. Come to the Barbara Neal thing.
Buy my book.
Buy her book.
The Wellness Way, actually, it's a beginner's guide now, a beginner's guide to your natural health systems. So your very own NHS. We all have them, got to use them.
So final words to you, Philly, before we end.
I just want to say thank you for everything you do. Without brave men like you, because it does take a hugely brave man to stand up to do what you've done. You know, I my children have grown up. You know, I had a house I could keep remortgaging and it didn't really matter, so I could fund and keep going. But you know, you've really put yourself on the line and you've got your babies there looking at us. And you know, you do this for your children. And so every single one of you out there, you might go, it doesn't really affect me now. But you got to have a look. Have you got kids? Have you got grandchildren? Look after them while you still can. Because when people like, you know, Doc Malik and I stop speaking, and
it's bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
I mean, how many people are there literally in this country doing what we're doing? A handful?
10? Maybe 15?
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
Quite worrying.
It really is. I mean, I remember just going, fuck it, I'm starting a podcast, and going to John Lewis down the road and filming a TikTok in there going, I'm starting a podcast. Right, let me look at headphones. Let me look at microphones. And I just thought, I got to do this. I can't shut up.
All right.
And nor can you. So thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for having me on. It is always such a pleasure to be in your company.
You're a star.
So are you.